Stand by. Your Steve Jones Show audio is loading now. SteveJonesShow.com podcasts are sponsored by Brewers Outlet, Reagan Street, Sunbury, the beverage supermarket.
Sports talk where your voice counts. This is the Steve Jones Show on News Radio 1070 WKOK. Now, from the Sunbury Motor Studio, here's Steve Jones.
Welcome. Great to have you with us, SJS, for this Friday. Brought to you by Brewers Outlet, Reagan Street in Sunbury, the beverage supermarket. It is time to load up and stack up for the weekend. Can't wait. That means a stop at Brewers Outlet. Great snacks. I mean, great stuff. Hot, fresh roasted peanuts, beverages. Did I mention beer? Lots of great beverages. Great selection. And not only that, the pickle bar. You really cannot. I mean, you really cannot go into a weekend, especially with football, and not go to Brewers Outlet. You do that. I mean, to me, you're shortchanging yourself. You go to Brewers Outlet, one-stop shopping. You are good. All right? No question about that. All right. I'm in the Sunbury Motors Studio, 4th Street in Sunbury. Sunbury Motors Key, routes 11 to 15 in Hummel's Wharf. And once again, Kevin in trouble with management over saying that the bus should be in and John Riggin should be out of the Hall of Fame.
No, I did not say that.
That was a stunning, stunning revelation.
Not what I said. I'll play it back for you. I just said if Riggins is in, then the bus should be in. And what was your comment? Oh, you have to make it on the playoffs. Yeah, the poor guy's whole life revolves around, what, five games?
That's not what I said. Okay, what I said was is that when I have two comparable individuals, okay, and I have to make a choice between one or the other, then I start looking at what they did in the playoffs when the money was on the table to help me then help me make a determination as to which one should be in and out. That's when it comes down to one or two guys together, side by side.
And their whole career seems to be parallel.
Yes.
All right.
And now I have to make a decision between one or the other. If I can get both of them in, I would try to get both of them in. But if I'm there stuck and I have to pick one or the other, I start looking at the playoffs to see with the money on the table what the deal is.
Well, if you're a voter and you have Jerome Bettis and then you have, I don't know, pick a defensive end. How do you compare those two? How do you compare those two careers and make it apples to apples and decide who gets into the Hall and who doesn't?
Well, you know what? It depends to me on which one. And if it's, again, you're trying to pick one or the other. Okay. Which one do I think affected and dominated the game more?
I can understand. That makes sense.
Take for example, let's take a guy that we know is guy Reggie White, Jerome Bettis.
Okay,
I'm gonna go with Reggie White. I felt he affected and changed the game more. Lawrence Taylor affected and changed the game more. Okay, and that, you know, you look at guys like that, Ronnie Lott. Okay, that's why Troy Polamalu is going to be in. Polamalu should be a first ballot Hall of Famer. He changed the game, all right? And to me, he's an easy guy to sit there and look at because he changed the game. And you had the game plan specifically against him. Now, Jerome Bettis did not have great quarterbacks around him for a long period of time.
Kent Graham. I don't even know if he was there when Kent Graham was there, but he's once my again, favorite bad Steeler quarterback.
Once again, repeating my statement. He didn't have a lot of great quarterbacks around him.
He had Cordell Stewart for a while. I'm pretty sure about that.
And he was a guy that, you know, that you had to stop to win. All right? So, it's hard when you don't have multiple spots because in the Baseball Hall of Fame, you can vote for a lot of different guys. Football Hall of Fame has always been too restrictive to me. Why seven? Who came up with the number seven?
I don't know. That's a good question. Why not 11?
Right.
There's 11 players on the field on one side, you know?
Yeah, but why limit it, though? Okay, why limit it? And I think that's Bettis' biggest problem is that you sit down and each year there are first of all, one has to be a veteran, as to from a different era. So now you're down to six. Well, now if you're sitting there and you keep finishing seventh all the time, you're not going to get in. And it gets harder and harder as the years go by because new guys get into the mix.
I have to share this. You were talking about the quarterbacks during Jerome Bettis' career with Pittsburgh. Mm-hmm. Mike Tomczak, Cordell Stewart, Kent Graham was there, by the way, for a time. Yeah, who I affectionately call Stone Shoes, because his mobility was a half a step left, a half a step right, and collapse into a heap for a sack. Also in there was touchdown Tommy Maddox before Ben Roethlisberger finally took over.
Maddox, by the way, had a really good, actually had one really good season with them.
Sure did. I think it was 03. No, it might have been 02 when he was in for Cordell Stewart. He actually went into the postseason then, because he took over for Cordell and then went to the postseason with the Steelers for a couple of games in the postseason that year.
Right. So not exactly an award-winning group.
Right, not a stellar list.
Nope, not exactly an award-winning group. Oh, well. But that's the uphill battle he's facing. As each year goes by, it's going to be more difficult because there's certainly some hole. Look how long it took Chris Carter, for example. All right? It took Chris Carter a long time to get in. And there are going to be other names coming up here as time goes along that people are going to say, yeah, first ballot, at a variety of positions. And it may get more difficult for him as time goes on. Especially in a league that is now pass-happy and is not as run-happy as it used to be.
Is it easier to get into the Baseball Hall of Fame than it is the Football Hall of Fame?
It is easier for a camel to pass through the eye of a needle. No, I'm just kidding.
That's a whole different topic.
Oh, wait, I'm sorry. I think I heard that somewhere.
Might have been on Sunday.
It's easier to get in the Baseball Hall of Fame because multiple guys can get in. But you also have the steroid issue now in baseball, which now makes it crazy. So, all right, time to take a break. We'll come back, hear from a couple of players here in a few moments on Inside Penn State Athletics from Learfield Sports.
Ready for a quality pre-owned vehicle? Well, get them before they go to auction at Sunbury Motors. Go to sunburymotors.com and click on pre-auction blowout.
Like a Ford Fiesta four-door sedan, SEL, $11,995. 2006 Pontiac Solstice two-door convertible, super low miles, only $15,521. A one-owner 2011 Hyundai Sonata 2.4-liter hybrid for just $17,387. 2012 Ford Econoline cargo van, fully serviced, $18,996. 2010 Ford Explorer Sport Track 4-door, $24,352. And a 2011 Lincoln MKX with a 6-year, 100,000-mile warranty, just $34,882. Call 888-536-8017.
All come with a Carfax report and our lowest price promise. Pre-auction blowout. 24/7 at sunburymotors.com, at the North 4th Street Auto Plaza, Sunbury, and at our dealership, Routes 11 and 15 in Hummel's Wharf. Sunbury Motors, a tradition of trust since 1915.
The best get-togethers start with a trip to the beverage supermarket, Brewers Outlet, Reagan Street, Sunbury. Why? Because Brewers Outlet has not only a great selection of beer, including imports and microbrews, but also a lot more. Brewers Outlet has water, soda, they roast their peanuts every day, and you can't forget about stopping by the pickle bar. Look for great deals on wine coolers and all your favorite snacks. Before you enjoy those special times with family and friends, make your visit first to the beverage supermarket, Brewers Outlet, Reagan Street, Sunbury.
Kevin Herr, Bob Buehner in studio. Steve Jones joining us again from the Sunbury Motor Studio here in just a few short minutes as we get ready for
now. Seconds. I just want to hear the music play out.
Lots happening. Friday night high school football, a little Saturday afternoon football, and Saturday evening.
I'm excited, Bob. I'm excited about the game and all the other games this season because now it's really hit the season. I'm not one of those guys that throws all of his balls into the August month and just says, you know, after the first game, I mean, that's it. And all of a sudden it's like downhill from there. I can't treat it like that way, Bob.
You know, after the last Sunday's Steeler performance, there were alerts on all the bridges to beware of a certain blue car just in case Kevin decided to jump into the Susquehanna.
Bob, it would have been justified. That was awful.
It was pitiful.
I mean, seriously, if he called me up and said, look, I want to jump, I'm not sure I would have talked him down.
Exactly.
it was that bad.
But a full slate of high school games, a big game in Happy Valley, and a couple other big college games, and we've got a slew of Sunday NFL games. Does it get better than this, Steve?
No, it doesn't. It's September, Bob. I mean, in August, you get weekends like this, and they have a whole bunch of games that don't count, scrimmages that don't count. You know, we're guys like, my favorite month's August because it's like nothing counts.
Exactly. And, you know, believe it or not.
Maybe I'm just more of a guy that likes when the money's on the table. I don't know, as opposed to somebody who just doesn't really want to get into it.
Now we're getting into the discussion that we had earlier in the show already, and that's with the money's on the table, whether you should make it into the Hall of Fame or not. You're in your money on the table.
Because, Kevin, big games, I think, when you're splitting hairs, and again, I want to emphasize you're splitting hairs. Big games when you're splitting hairs, I think, are what you eventually need to determine who's out. I mean, for example, you can't go with, for example, with a guy like Ernie Banks. For example, he never played in a postseason game. Never played in one. So I mean, that's an issue. There's no doubt about that. But when you get to, like, you're really prejudiced toward Bettis. See, the difference between you and me, I'm not prejudiced toward anybody.
You say that.
I believe it. I'm on Steve's side on this one.
I don't know. I made my point yesterday and earlier today. I think that there's very good numbers to show that he should be in the Hall of Fame. Now, we joked about this at the end of the program yesterday, and I did not have a chance to clarify. I did not. You made it sound like I thought Kevin Green deserved to be in the Hall of Fame. Not what I said. I was surprised he was on that final ballot last year.
Here we go. I mean, what next? Cordell Stewart should be in?
Actually, I do have a financial stake in Cordell Stewart being in, but that autograph isn't going to be worth jack squat anytime soon.
Hey, a financial stake?
And I waited a long time for that autograph. I don't remember. I'm pretty sure I paid for that one, too.
Oh,
I've paid for it over the years. There's no question about that.
And still paying for it. The mortgage on the house will be paid off in a couple
exactly.
of years.
Exactly.
And by the way, just in case no one's noticed, there's an exciting pennant race going on in National League and American Leagues. It's also baseball season in the start of football season. And ice hockey is just around the corner.
I cannot get into ice hockey right now. It's going to have to be December before ice hockey
can
start.
I can because I'm very close to it. Looks like I might be doing a couple games on the Big Ten Network.
And I understand that. But you came from a region where hockey was big, too. Hockey around here has not been big. I don't know, probably the last... What, Bob, maybe 5 years hockey got actually popular? I kind of think it was when the Wilkes-Barre-Scranton Penguins came in, and then people recognized that, oh, there's the Hershey Bears. They've been here a while, too.
Yeah, the Hershey Bears were, everybody knew who they were and where they were because it was right next to Hershey Park, and they had a very similar name. But when the Big Penguins decided to make Wilkes-Barre-Scranton the home of the Baby Penguins, and they had their training camp, and then they started selling out virtually every game because they had a lot of success in the minor leagues with the Wilkes-Barre-Scranton Penguins. Yeah, people here got really excited about hockey. And again, a big tilt in the direction of Pittsburgh as opposed to the Flyers in Philadelphia.
Two things are big with hockey. Number one, the experience of being there.
Ah.
Unbelievable. Fast, incredible skill. I mean, live hockey is an incredible sport. Number two, what has really helped hockey exponentially is HD TV and big screens. You can now see the puck. So now your ability to watch is even more so. Now, Kevin's problem with it, let's be frank about it, it doesn't happen in August.
Exactly. No, my problem is it's been better lately, but there is more scoring in hockey than there used to be. I have trouble watching a 1-0 game.
That's because they modify, again, this is where we've talked before about modifying rules to put more offense in. And that's why I've been a big proponent of the designated hitter as opposed to a hitter for hitting. Okay? The NHL outlawed the center ice trap.
Yes.
When they took the center ice trap out that Jacques Lemaire put in, it opened up the game, and they took two-line pass out of it, which was great. It opened the game up. Baseball needs to open up the game.
Taking your calls at 800-795-9565. This is the Steve Jones Show on News Radio 1070 WKOK. Now from the Sunbury Motor Studio, here's Steve Jones.
Howdy, how you?
Were you watching the TCU game last night? It's starting to rub off?
No. That's how ceilings grow south of Sunbury, and that's how they say it there.
Right.
Today's show brought to you by Brewers Outlet, Reagan Street in Sunbury, the beverage supermarket. It is the weekend, time to stock up. Buhner's already been there 3 times.
I want to tell you, the traffic to get over there is backed up to Northumberland just because they announced the pickle bar is open. traveling down Route 11, I was wondering where all the traffic is going, and it's the pickle bar at Brewer's Outlet. It's bringing them in by the, lines of traffic everywhere. It's got all of Sunbury tied up.
See, that's not what I wanted to hear, seeing as I have to drive across the river in about an hour and a half.
The highways of central Pennsylvania.
You can leave now if you want.
Yeah.
Some people say, I left a long time ago.
Yeah. I can run the board. I don't know what I'm doing, but.
Sorry, neither do I. I don't set the bar real high.
Oh, boy.
And Steve, you're on 4:30 at the Bryce Jordan.
Yes, 4:30 tomorrow with Jack Hammond, Lauren Crispell, Roger Corey. Parik Duffy is going to be joining us tomorrow, who is the head of the Gaelic Athletic Association. The Irish contingent is here. We had Peter McKenna on the show last night, which was marvelous. I enjoyed talking with Peter. And when he brought the football out, the trophy for next year's game, the Dan Rooney Trophy, it is made out of Irish wood that is 4,200 years old. And the laces on it are the steel from Three Rivers Stadium.
Very nice touch.
The Dan Rooney Trophy. Now, yes, will I see Dan Rooney? Yes. Do I have a list of questions from Kevin?
Yes.
Unfortunately, yes. So.
But the question is, will Dan Rooney take the Fifth Amendment before the start of the first question?
Actually,
Actually, a better one than that is whether I even bother to talk to him about that and just make small talk.
Are you going to be on the – will he come on the air to talk about the next year's season opener?
I'm not sure about that because we had Peter McKenna on last night and Parik Duffy's on tomorrow, so I doubt it.
Okay.
But I know he wants to see Jack, which will be nice, and then it'll be the first time I've met him. So, along the way, and I won't embarrass myself by asking a whole bunch of Kevin questions.
There's only one question you have to ask.
Oh, brother!
If Hillgrove isn't available, can I fill in? That's all you have to ask.
Well, I don't even think I need to ask that question.
Well, that'd be great. I'll pack my bags now.
I mean. The answer is no.
Steve, I saw that they've already put together travel packages for the opening game of next year.
Yeah, they have, and that's good. I mean, and for people to put that together, and I mean, will the word Ballybunion come up tomorrow with the Parik Duffy? I would have to say yes.
Can you ask him where you go to kiss the Blarney Stone? That's one of the things that's been on the. Not on my mind necessarily.
Unfortunately, I feel like I do that every day at 3:15. All right, so
You know, I just
Kevin's like, was that a shot at me? Was that a shot?
No.
I don't have to ask. I know better.
I have a sense that the buildup to tomorrow's game with UCF has really been huge, and that there's a lot of pent-up anticipation about this game.
Well, I think there is, because it's the third game of the season. Let's get with the logic of that. I mean, it's the third game of the season, and they've scheduled this one in the third slot. It was supposed to be Virginia originally. They've really held this second or third slot open for a game like this, whether it was Alabama or Virginia. Now Central Florida. Down the road, it'll be some other people. Pitt will fill that spot in the number two hole down the line. And because you need to be tested. You have to be. And Bortles is going to be a great test for them tomorrow and for that secondary. Because they're going to be playing Indiana in 3 weeks. Well, Indiana, under Kevin Wilson, loves to throw the football. Loves to throw it. I mean, wide open, multiple offense. So for this secondary to face a guy like Blake Bortles, who a year from now, people will be talking about being a potential draft choice, I think it's going to be it's great, especially for the two kids on the corners, because Jordan Lucas and Trevor Williams have played very well so far. Now you get a test from him and some good wideouts. J.J. Worley's a really good wideout. Godfrey is a converted quarterback. He had been the quarterback. He had scored 22 touchdowns. He was, and was really good. But then he got himself into a little bit of trouble off the field. He got himself into an academic trouble. He leaves the program. He then asked to come back to the program. When he does, Bortles has already started on his way to being a very good college quarterback. And they looked at him and they said, look, we'll take you back, but you can't play quarterback. You're going to have to play a different position. So they moved him to wideout, and he's become a very good wideout. And Bortles, by the way, does a very good job of utilizing his tight ends. They can balance the offense with Storm Johnson at tailback. He can break one here and there, but he does a lot of good work between the tackles and watching tape of him. And then you look at the defense. I don't know how good the defense is, guys. I just don't know, because Florida International and Akron are so mediocre offensively. I can't tell you how good the Central Florida defense is.
One of the questions I think people around here want to know is, will they see or hear about Ryan Kaiser in the lineup tomorrow? I've heard questionable, and all that.
No, he's got a shot. How about that?
Okay.
So go from there. And that's what they have to avoid. They have to avoid injuries at this point. I mean, because if they keep the starting group out there, or the first two groups, they're really good. When they have to dip way down, that's where trouble comes up.
I think the two names you're going to be calling a lot tomorrow is a guy by the name of Daquan somebody on the defensive line for Penn State.
Daquan Jones has been unblockable so far.
Yeah, exactly.
He's been unblockable. 18 tackles so far. I mean, literally, you get to the seventh or eighth game of the season, a lot of three technique defensive tackles don't have 18 tackles by the sixth or seventh game. He has 18 in two games. Been unblockable so far. The offensive line for Eastern Michigan, very large, but as I pointed out last week, slow and not slow and
not athletic,
not very mobile. At all, not at all. I mean, when they came running out of the tunnel, they played the theme to Chariots of Fire. I think their coaching staff got concerned. You look at Syracuse's offensive line, not bad, and he had 9 tackles against them. So he's just, as a 3 technique, he is outstanding. And for the uninitiated, let me explain 3 technique for you. Okay, people hear that term used all the time. The gaps are labeled. So the nose tackle is the 1 technique. That's because they're around that center guard gap. Then the next gap out's a 3. The next gap out's a 5. The next gap out's a 7. Goes out to 9. Then, that's how they do it. So when you hear 3 technique, that means he is lined up further away from the center in the 3 hole. That's what it means.
So I have actually learned a new terminology today with that. That's pretty impressive.
Kevin, by the way, now on the Shikalimi broadcast tonight, Kevin will be. I'll tell you right now, that kid's a good one technique.
Kevin's not above taking a good idea and amplifying it. He's got plenty to do. He's got Sealand's Grove coming, invading Shikalimi tonight. That's going to be a good test, and good test for Kevin, too. So,
What's a good test for me?
You, announcing
okay,
the Sealand's Grove.
Time to take a break.
Kevin's back.
Where were you?
I actually am setting up a couple of things here
yes,
as the
he
program
is.
Goes.
He is working as we speak.
I know that's a new idea to you that I'm actually working, but, you know, every so often I do.
At the moment, I'm confused.
Is there another big college game somewhere in either Alabama or Texas tomorrow, by
it's
the
in,
way?
It's in Texas.
Okay.
Yeah. Y'all come down now and see us, yeah? It's allegedly Texas A&M against Alabama, but there is a reality. It's Johnny Football against Alabama. You never hear about the rest of the Texas A&M team, and that's the problem. I think Alabama has more than enough offense. I've changed my mind in this game. I thought this was going to be less than a 10-point game. I think this could be a 20-point game.
And the boys from Aggieland are not the favorites, is what you're saying.
I think the team that used to be coached by Bear Bryant.
Yes.
Actually, they both were coached by Bear Bryant.
That's true. Bear Bryant was there. Did he start in Kentucky and then go to Texas A&M and then Alabama?
He started at Kentucky. He's the all-time winningest coach at Kentucky. He then went to Texas A&M, and then he spent 1 year at Maryland.
I did not know that.
And then took the Alabama job. Yep, took one year at Maryland, then he took the Alabama job.
And decided that was too close to the Mason-Dixon line and then headed south.
I'm not going to stay here. So, that was one of the great interviews of my life.
And when did you do that?
1981.
Okay.
So you're talking 31 years ago. I had a chance to interview him at what was then the Holiday Inn in Burnham. And I went down there and interviewed him. And when I was done, he shook my hand. I said, thank you so much. It was a pleasure meeting you, son. I was like, so I remember playing it back on the air.
Mm-hmm.
And somebody in management came up and said, you can't play that. Nobody can understand. I said, no, you don't get it. That's Bear Bryant.
Yeah.
I said, you don't have to understand him. You have people all over the area going, they got Bear Bryant on. What do you say? I don't know, but they got Bear Bryant on.
Let me ask this question. This is from my memory banks. Was the 1981 game the game at Beaver Stadium where we accidentally, our punter kicked the ball?
No.
In
what you? Nope. That was 1982 at Legion Field in Alabama. Mark Robinson, very good player, had been the punt protector while also being a fine safety.
Oh, yeah.
Okay. And Robinson was an excellent safety. Well, Robinson got hurt in the game, and Mike Suter had to take over in the safety spot and also took over as the punt protector. Now, what is completely lost in the wash is that the one and only interception of Mike Suter's career was in that game in the end zone that stopped an Alabama drive. Well, Penn State is down late in the game, 24-21, but they clearly have shifted the momentum in their direction. In Penn State, the momentum is clearly with Penn State. And Ralph Giacomero kicks the ball in, and Mike Suter backed up too far. He kicked the ball into Mike Suter's backside, and Alabama scored. And after that, it became an avalanche. Joe told me that after that game, this was 1982, Joe told me after that game, Paul Bryant calls him in the office. You know, and this is, remember, this was Paul Bryant's last season. And so Bear calls Joe and asked him something really interesting, and I'll never forget this. He said, he called me up and he says, Joe, I want to know something. First of all, Joe closed the door first so he could hear him. Okay. Right, which is, that's true. True story. And he says, Joe, Are we any good?
Wow.
And that was one of those, like, wow, this has, you know, he's got to be at the end. If anybody doesn't have a handle yet on whether his team is good or not, Bear Bryant didn't have a handle on whether his team was good or not at that stage. So he's starting to not be sure of what he had or what he didn't have. Well, it turned out they were an okay team. Penn State won the national championship. The 1981 game was actually the game where Bear Bryant tied Amos Alonzo Stagg's record for wins at the time at 314. Penn State had a couple cracks inside the 10-yard line and couldn't get in. And that was, it was so frustrating. They just could not get the ball in. And they hit a big pass play to a kid named, I think, Joey Jones.
Yes, he was number one. He wore jersey number one for Alabama.
Yep, and he hit a couple big pass plays, and Alabama won the game. And he tied Stagg's record.
I remember this at the pregame warm-up. Alabama came out on the field. Penn State was already out in the field. And surprisingly, Bear Bryant came out on the field, usually much earlier than the head coach appears. Right. And he had his houndstooth hat on, and he went down to the north end zone, and he just leaned against the goalpost.
Yes, he did.
Folded his arms, crossed his legs kind of, stood there, didn't say a word. And he got a standing ovation from everybody in that end zone, just walking out onto the field.
Well, I mean, but there's more to it than that.
Okay.
And the reason's more to it than not only a great tribute to one of the great coaches ever, which he deserved, but at the same time, Southern teams get away with this. And, you know, what's really strange is to never hear them called on this. You never hear them called on this. But Tennessee, for example, had a four-game series with Penn State. The first two games were in Knoxville. They never came back. Okay? Auburn in the 80s was supposed to have a home and away with Penn State. Auburn got out of it and canceled the series. Florida has not played a game above the Mason-Dixon line since 1965. Hey, you know, when's the last time Georgia played a game above the Mason-Dixon line?
Doesn't happen.
When? I mean, it doesn't happen. I mean, Alabama was always the only one that had the guts to go out to USC, had the guts to go to Penn State, had the guts to go anywhere, anytime, play anybody, and nobody down there. And, you know, it's one thing where you play against each other and you beat each other up and so forth, and somebody emerges and everybody goes, isn't the SEC awesome, incredible, and great? Well, it is a great conference, no question about that, but they show no non-conference guts at all. I mean, at all, they have this innate fear of going anywhere to show exactly how good they are in September. And that's always bothered me about that conference. I mean, LSU doesn't really go much of anywhere. I think they've gone to Notre Dame, but they don't go anywhere. I mean, Ole Miss, Mississippi State, Tennessee, Georgia, Florida, South Carolina, they don't go anywhere. I mean, go someplace in the non-conference.
Yeah, play a challenging opponent just to test your mettle early before you get into conference play. But I just remember the ovation that Bear Bryant got from Penn State fans just walking out in the field, and he just casually was there with his arms folded, just taking the whole atmosphere in. Eventually went to midfield, and Joe came over. They shook hands, and they were laughing about something for a couple minutes, and then they went about the rest of their day.
Bear Bryant thought very, very, very highly of Joe Paterno. Very highly. So, all right, let's take a break. Today's show brought to you by Brewers Outlet, Reagan Street in Sunbury, the beverage supermarket. Bob, is he really working?
Last time I checked.
That says everything. We'll come back with more on News Radio 1070 WKOK. Kevin's off doing whatever Kevin is. I think he's just bitter about the Jerome Bettis talk. He's pretending to work.
No, I'm actually getting stuff squared away for this program. Doing my part, because I'm the guy that has to do the high school stuff. And I take pride in getting you the quality guests that this show deserves.
Okay, Bob. Great to have you with us, Bob. All
this thing's still on?
Not so sure.
Dave Ritchie will be joining us after 4.
Does he know?
Yes. Yes, he does. Willingly, I might add. Hey, yeah. Did you get a chance to hear? I know we only have a couple of minutes here, but did you get a chance to hear the Nick Saban press conference? There were a lot of questions. None of them involved the game.
You don't know, as you darn well know, I don't listen to any of that stuff anymore.
All right, well, check this out.
Investigating about a lot of things. Every time somebody brings something up about our program, we investigate it. We do the best we can. There's nobody in this organization that wants to do anything that's not above board, and we don't want our players to do it either. That's not what the program's built on, and that's not what we're going to do.
Just the timing of all this stuff coming out, how does that affect you personally and also the team?
You know, I've already answered it 3 times. So who else wants it? Can we get in a line and everybody ask the question? I made a statement. Don't ask me any more questions about this. If you want to talk about the Texas A&M game, I'll be glad to talk about it. That's what I'm here to do. I'm here to coach our players, talk about our team.
Here's the best part. Wait for him finishing it.
Thanks, Coach.
Appreciate your interest in the game.
Okay, well, you know.
I understand his frustration. I do. But, you know, we're in an era right now and a situation right now where every little piece of information, whether it comes from ESPN, Yahoo Sports, or Sports Illustrated, everybody wants to know about it.
Excuse me, $45,000 to an offensive tackle is not small.
Good point.
Okay, that goes to institutional control.